You are listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the University City Science Center. This is Dean Schwartz, your host, with my co-host, Kevin Lee of Griffin Financial. And today, on our show, we have first Ann Klein, president of Ann Klein Communications Group, followed by Phil Robinson, president of Lankenau Medical Center. Then, Robert Hill, Jr., president of Solar Atmospheres of Western Pennsylvania. And finally, Dr. Emmanuel Kasimaitis, who is the president and CEO of ECFMG. But now, let's talk to Ann Klein. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, Ann Klein Communications Group, what does your company do?
We are a boutique public relations firm based in the Philadelphia market, but we do work nationally and internationally in public relations.
Okay, and public relations, what is exactly public relations?
Well, if you'll permit me, I'd like you to tell you first what public relations is not, and then I will tell you what public relations is.
Either way works.
Well, public relations is not getting your name in the paper only. Public relations is certainly not spin, making something look good when it's really not. Public relations is not propaganda, only one side of the story. Public relations is not advertising, something you pay for. Public relations is just not one-way communication. Public relations is two-way communication. It's building relationships with your many audiences so that your audiences will get to know who you are, you'll understand them, and you'll have a cordial relationship that they will want to buy your product or service and think well of your company.
I have to tell you, I always thought that public relations was about getting your name in the paper or somehow getting an article in the paper, and that's not the case.
In the early days of public relations, yes, publicity was a very, very important aspect of public relations, but the world has changed so much. We have the explosion of technology and the internet. So now it's very important for public relations people to worry about their employees and be concerned with communication with employees, to talk directly with neighbors or government officials that they're working with in their communities. You may need to talk to your shareholders, and this is not the publicity aspect of public relations. So we've had big changes in how we communicate.
Changes. The world has changed?
The world has changed dramatically.
How? I mean, or what's doing this? What's driving changes?
The biggest change has been the explosion in technology from the early days of radio to television and the internet, and with instantaneous communication now with our personal computers and with our PDAs. I could be sitting in a room now with a group of students and they could be tweeting out what you and I are talking about. So this is a major, major change in the way we communicate.
In terms of communication, do you think companies are communicating more or less than they were, you know, when it was more less technologically driven?
I think corporations and organizations are being forced to communicate more because you're being talked about in the social media, whether you're involved in it or not. So there's a lot of chatter going on out there. So if you want to be understood and have the audiences out there understand you, you need to communicate, and you need to communicate more. Some are good at communicating, some are not.
And along those same lines, is that communication more crisis management, like they're reactive, or is it proactive?
My philosophy on crisis management is really crisis preparedness. A lot of organizations never think about what could happen to them. And so when something does happen, they're not prepared, and they're afraid, or we can't really say what really happened. So in crisis preparedness, we tell our clients, you know, think about what the right thing is to do, and then act with that honesty and integrity and ethical behavior so that when you do communicate, people are going to believe what you're saying.
So ethical behavior and values? Tell me, why? Where do you get that from?
Well, I think ethical behavior and values starts when you're very, very young. For me, it was my mom who taught me to live by the golden rule. And that is, you grow up, whatever your religious affiliation is or whoever you go to for your higher being, you learn values there. And every day you learn values. You learn values from your teachers. You learn values in the way you work. You see things that people do, and you say, I'll never do that.
How did you learn values from your mother? Give me an idea.
My mother taught me the golden rule.
Yeah, but tell me more. What does that mean? I mean, was it you learned by example?
I read about the golden rule all the time, but I mean, you know, it's hard to practice. You know, how do you learn that trait?
Yeah, what did she do?
My mother was the youngest of 9 children, and mm-hmm. I guess that's where it started. And she was always helping her sisters, and they were helping her. And my mother and father had a lot of friends, and we're a big family. So in addition, we had family. And so we just found ourselves in this very two-way collaborative kind of thing in family and friends, that we would help them, they would help us. I had a staff member. I think in addition to my mother, this particular example just really stayed with me. Staff member said, I do something for you. You do something for somebody else. And that chain goes on, and eventually it comes back to you.
Well, wait. How many, where were you in the pecking order of the children in your family, your mothers?
I'm an only child.
Wait, you're an only child?
I'm an only child, yes.
Okay. So you're an only child with a mother who was 9 of 9, who taught you to help other people. Usually only children are, like, concerned about themselves and see the world through only themselves. And here you are, one, doing that, and two, your business is helping people in public relations. Help me understand that.
This sounds really trite, but it's family values. I grew up like that. Fortunately, I was blessed. I had 6 boy cousins my age. So I grew up being one of the boys. I hit a mean baseball. And
can you hit a curve, though?
I used to be pretty good in those days. But I learned a lot of team play, and I learned how we helped each other. So my mother always said that she heard that only children were spoiled, and she was determined I was not going to be spoiled. So if people ask my mother, is Ann spoiled, she would always say no. So I grew up thinking, no, I'm not spoiled. Mm-hmm. And she taught me to just help other people, and that's what I do. I love to mentor, and I've done a lot of it for 32 years with the Rowan students, Rowan University PR students, and now I'm chairman of the Heart Board in Central and Southern New Jersey. I believe in women taking care of their health, so it's part of who I am. It's what I learned from my family.
When did you get the bug that you decided you were going to kind of institutionalize this communication skill set that you have in your life? Did you all of a sudden wake up one day at, you know, 16 or 17 and say, you know what, I'm going to make a business out of this?
Actually, no. I grew up in a time when there were not a lot of opportunities for women, but my father was determined that as an only child, I should be able to support myself. So I guess from when I was 14, he kept saying to me, you're going to the Wharton School, you're going to the Wharton School. And so I went to the Wharton School. I was the first big class of undergraduate women in the Wharton School. We were 12 of us. And I went with the flow. I wanted to be a corporate finance major. That path was not open to me. I had a professor who basically called me a dilettante. I didn't know what the word was. I went out and looked it up, and that I think was the beginning of my motivation to really show the world I could do it.
The fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire. So I majored in marketing, and a lot of gentlemen who had a lot of career paths, I didn't have career paths. I had to take what I saw in front of me, and I guess you could say I had some courage from my parents. I took some risks, but I took advantage of opportunities that were there. And the marketing area was opening up for women, and that was my career path.
Did you jump right into starting your own business? I mean, get out of, you know, this largest women's class at Wharton, you know, in Pennsylvania, you know, largely a men's society at that point in time, and say, I'm going to go start my own business, you know, damn the torpedoes, you know.
I would love to say yes to that answer, but to that question. But unfortunately, the Civil Rights Act had not been passed, and the recruiters that came to campus said male only. So I could not go the way I wanted to go. Obviously, I worked in the corporate world for 16 years. It was a great experience. I loved every minute of it. And in my last position as manager of executive communications at Sun Oil, I had a great opportunity to start my own business. I had gone pretty much as far as I was going to go at that time, and that's when I jumped in. So I had a lot of background.
What gave you the confidence to go that you're like, I'm going to be successful in this, starting my own business? I mean, corporate world all of a sudden saying, you know, I'm going out doing it on my own. I mean, did you have was your mother still with you at the time?
My mother and father both were still with me, and that was a big support system that I had. it never occurred to me that I might fail. Never. I had friends who would talk about the imposter syndrome. You know, today, tomorrow's the day they're going to find out for sure. I don't know what I'm doing. But it never occurred to me. Just never occurred to me that I might fail. And I didn't.
And how long has Anne Klein been in business now?
It'll be 30 years next January.
Do they still ask you the same question? And when's the imposter coming out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I get it all the time, but I don't succumb to that anymore. I feel very confident that our business will survive through a lot of recessions, a lot of challenges, but we just keep going on.
What kind of team do you have in your business?
I have a terrific team of individuals ranging from my husband and business partner. My husband is a former broadcast journalist and, as he describes it, a recovering attorney, and his help is invaluable in crisis and issues. I have a senior vice president and COO who came out of the Air Force in crisis. I have a new young owner who will be taking over in a few years, and some incredibly bright young people who are very skilled in social media and in client relations. So we have a nice team of all age groups and ethnicities and gender.
And what's the website address?
Our website is www.annekleincg.com, and I will spell it. I am Ann with an E, Klein, K-L-E-I-N, C Charlie, G George.com.
Thank you. We've been talking to Ann Klein of Ann Klein Communications. Do not forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. And we will be right back right after this business spotlight.